Ballot item A, 89.75%, okay, voted for that. It deletes our current Rule 102G with a proposed Rule 116. The key provision is that a lawyer may take reasonably necessary protective action that may include, but isn't limited to, consulting with individuals or entities that have the ability to take action to protect a client, such as medical providers or family members. Remember, this is permissive. Let me give you an example. You've had, and it applies to existing clients. Clearly, if somebody comes in and you don't think that they understand the legal effect of what you're talking about, you're probably not going to take that because you're worried that this person needs guardianship or needs a power of attorney or something. But let's say you've had, this client for 20 years and he comes in one day and says, I want to sell everything and buy a submarine. You're going, Bob, you don't even swim. What's going on? Well, I saw it on a thing and I think, and so, well, Bob, what do you want to do with that land you inherited from your mother? And he goes, what land? So you clearly know there's something wrong with Bob. You are allowed, if you think he's about to make a bad legal error, he might do something, to reach out to a trusted person in that person's life. If he or she has a spouse, you might say you can reach out if you know that spouse. Listen, and it isn't that, let's say he comes in and says, I want to change the will to cut my daughter Betty out of it. Well, the first thing you're going to do is not call Betty and say, Betty, your dad's nuts. He wants to cut you out of the will. You might call the wife and say, listen, is Bob okay? I had a conversation that made me believe that he might not understand the effect of, you know, what we're talking about. Is he on medication? Has he been seen? Has he been evaluated? Just to let them know that you're have concerns about Bob's ability to make legal decisions. So you don't blurt out what happened. Also, you don't have to do anything. You can't get in trouble if you don't call Bob's spouse or daughter or son or something like that, because this is totally permissive. You are not a trained mental health provider. So the fact that you choose not to do that, but you do it not to help yourself, you do it to help your client. So it's permissive, not mandatory. So let's go to B, securing ethics advice. 93.3% of you voting approve that. And again, it says you may reveal confidential information so you may secure legal advice about the lawyer's compliance with this rule. So this just says, yes, if you need ethics advice, you can break that, cone of silence that we used to call Get from Get Smart, the old TV show, cone of silence, to reveal enough so you can say, well, I have two clients. One does this, one does that, da, da, da. You don't even have to use their real names, but one owns this property, one owns that. And you may have to reveal the names. So by the way, I do that for law firms too. When they come in, they say, we're not worried about hiring this lawyer from this other firm as a lateral hire because that firm's on the other side of the case. We'll be conflicted out. Sometimes you have to know all of it. All right, let's talk about this C. Confidential, this is about preventing your client's death by suicide. By the way, one of the things that I learned, and I learned so much, I try to remember most of it, about mental health providers and the terminology we use. We do not, I write this down, so we do not use the term generally committing suicide. It's dying by suicide, because there was a time where suicide was a crime. So when somebody committed suicide, they were committing a crime. We don't call it that anymore. So it was, and it's hard to stop saying that because everybody said, well, he committed suicide. He died by suicide. A person died by suicide. So that's the correct mental health terminology that we use. So once again, this adds a completely permissive, not mandatory thing that if you really believe from a conversation that you've had, or your personal observation that your client is in danger of dying by suicide. This allows you again to reach out to a trusted person. You might say in that situation, Bob comes in, bankruptcy attorneys see this too, where their client comes in and says, I've lost everything. My wife hates me. She's left me. My kids hate me. All I know is that I have a nice gun at home and a bottle of gin, or something like that. And if you think that client's serious, you can reach out to a trusted person, his brother, his sister, his wife, something, say, listen, I had a very disturbing conversation with Bob. Is he okay? I really think he is not exhibiting, the type of mental health that he might be a danger to himself. Again, if you don't do it, if Bob tells you something and you don't reach out to anyone and Bob ends up dying by suicide, you can't be sued. You can't have a grievance against you. This, again, is to help your client. Now, when I was doing this statewide thing, I had the forums. I had a woman from, I think it was Tyler, who was, this rule really upset her. She said, well, but what if I think my client's going to die by suicide and I go ahead and tell somebody and then he gets mad at me. He said, I wasn't going to, do that. Why would you do that? And he wants to fire me for that. I said, well, I think I'd rather be fired for trying to help my client stay alive than risk his wrath. I mean, really, if you're a person-centered, individual, and you really have formed a good faith impression in your own mind that person was in danger, I would feel obligated